tonight's video, we are diving into the state of Oklahoma, where this park ranger is following this shout for help into the wilderness and encounters something mind-blowing. Then our second story, we are heading up north to the country of Canada, where this family is camping and something horrifying happens. Then our last story is about a group of college friends that go camping together during winter break, but something horrifying happens. Stay tuned. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. Now let's get spooky. My time in service at the Chickasaw National Rec Area has been delightful up until this encounter. This historical recreational gem features the Platte National Park and Arbuckle Rec Area and preserves the South Central Oklahoma Hills. It is one of the major national units in the Great Plains. This beautiful park spans almost 10,000 acres and features streams, springs, and lakes, which cover about 2,400 acres of the land. Visitors come here to enjoy the several outdoor activities, and may I add, admission is free. These activities include hiking, swimming, picnicking, camping, fishing, and boating. The Chickasaw National Park area is open year-round, but hours, of course, vary. This incident, which happened to me personally, happened in the evening time when I was just finishing up the last 30 minutes or so of my shift before I was going to head home. I was taking care of the restrooms and showers before I was heading out. I was restocking the toilet paper and taking out the trash and restocking all the supplies at the rec area when I heard these weird echoing noises outside. When I was inside the restroom facility, I could hear it, but it was very faint. I had stopped what I was doing and walked outside to get a better listen. I heard the echoes again, now realizing they weren't just echoes. I could form words with these noises. The noises were asking for help, and it sounded like it was some kind of child. And yet, I didn't know where it was coming from. So I walked out to the parking lot, if I could narrow down the direction of these calls. And sure enough, they came again, asking for help, saying that they're lost and the police come. I was able to figure out what direction those noises were coming from at that point. So I went into my vehicle and grabbed everything that I needed because I had a feeling I was going to be out there for at least an hour, maybe more, as the direction of those noises was a very dense forested area. While I started my pursuit in that direction, I had my flashlight turned on and I was calling out to whoever was making these calls, asking what their name was and if they recognized anything that was nearby them that may lead me to their location. When I started responding to these shoutouts, I noticed that the shoutouts became less and less frequent, as like before when I was barely hearing them when I was inside the restrooms, I was hearing them at least every 10-15 seconds. Now, I was hearing these shoutouts at least once every 30-45 seconds, and this just being a rough estimate. As I continued to head in this dense and forested area, please keep in mind, this was not a trail. There wasn't even a man-made trail in the direction that I was heading. I was just going straight through brush, getting thorns and things stuck into my pants, getting scratch marks as I went. But I did not care. There was a child out there that needed my help, and judging by the volume of these shouts, it seemed as if I was getting closer. As time went on, the density of the woods started to clear up, and eventually I was in a small clearing. From there, that is when I caught the glimpse of something far off in the distance on the other end of the clearing near the tree line. I heard the shout again, this time much more clear, much closer, and it was definitely coming from what I believed to have seen in the distance in front of me. As I had previously mentioned, it was already dark outside, but this silhouette was not a child. This thing was taller than I am, and I am 6'1". The features I could make out in the dark, which I could not make out too many, was that it was incredibly thin. Its complexion was grayish, if not brown. And it seemed as if it was wearing some kind of white mask, almost as if it was a bone of some sort. And I couldn't be for certain, judging with the camouflage of the trees behind this creature. It almost seemed as if it had antlers sticking out of its head. But I couldn't truly tell. It spoke out one last time as I had stopped in my place when I first saw the silhouette of this creature. And this time, it sounded very robotic, almost as if it was a recording. I should have picked up on this much sooner, but I should have picked up the fact that I was following the same shout-out words over and over again, like it was some kind of tape player. The same words, "Help me, I'm lost and I'm hurt. Help me, I'm lost and I'm hurt." The same sentence was said over and over again, and yet it didn't click in my mind until I saw this creature that I had been conned. This was no little child. This was some type of monster. A monster up ahead that I wanted nothing to do with. The whole body of this creature, half hidden behind the trees, half visible, was waiting for me, trying to lure me in deeper into the woods for it to do God knows what. I was shaking from head to toe, goosebumps all up and down my body, the hairs standing up on end on my forearms. I knew I had to get the hell out of there. This thing was going to try to hurt me if I continued walking. Whatever this thing was not pleasant, and it was not innocent. It wanted chaos. It wanted blood. Deep down inside, I knew this thing wanted to eat me. I could not prove its true intentions as I turned tail and ran as fast as I could in the direction I came, getting cut up and scratched all the way until I got back to that parking lot. I got out of the parking lot within a mere couple of minutes, as I had not trailed too deep into the woods before encountering that clearing and seeing that creature. That is the only experience that I ever had with dealing with the paranormal or cryptid. But I will never forget what I had seen. I hope you enjoy this story, and if you narrate it, please keep me anonymous. So, to give a little context to this short story, I grew up in a very religious household. We never talked about the supernatural outside of angels and demons. Despite this, I have always had an interest in and affinity for the unexplainable. At the time of this story, I had just turned 8. My family decided it would be a great idea to take a trip to northern Ontario to site camp amongst the lovely fall trees. After a few hours of driving, we finally made it. We had got all set up, tent, fire pit, the like. I was helping my dad cut some firewood when we realized my brother, 6 at the time, was nowhere to be found. Now, realistically, my dad was doing most of the work, so during the time it took to set up camp, it had already become mid to late evening, so it was starting to get dark. An expected panic set in as we looked around for him. We were checking everywhere. This is when my parents told me to stay at camp, in case he had came back, and headed off to look farther out. I was alone for maybe 15 minutes. When I thought I heard someone moving through the underbrush behind the edge of our camp. I promised myself I would stay put since I was the only one at camp in case my brother came back. That's when I heard my brother's voice calling out for help from the same direction where I heard the rustling. So against my better judgment, I started walking. I took the walking stick I had picked up earlier that day, and held it tight since I was worried that there were a lot of wild animals in the forest. Making my way through the underbrush was tough work, since it was thick and I had short legs at the time. My sense of unease grew the whole time, but I chalked it up to the fact that I was worried for my brother. After 5 minutes of walking, I had made it to the base of a small cliff that had a steep but climbable section, and I decided to climb up and see if I could see my brother. I spent a few minutes clambering up the slope and scraping myself up pretty good on the route, but I made it to the top. The view from the top on a better day would have been rather pretty. Tall trees and yellow and orange leaves covering the ground and mixing with the underbrush. I made several sweeps of the area but didn't find any sign of my brother. It was then that I felt a massive wave of that unease I had been experiencing since I had left the campsite. This time, magnitudes are stronger. I made another half-hearted scan of the area before heading back. My mistake was that I only looked down off of the cliff and the surrounding lower area, and not behind me. As I turned to make my way down the slope that I was on, I saw something. At first, I thought it was just a corpse of birch trees at the edge of this bit of a clearing. I then saw movement, minor but noticeable. It was like a branch hanging from the canopy, but it was bent, then bent a little more. I followed the branch with my eyes until I saw it. It was a man, or something like it. It had to have been 7 or more feet tall, since it was nearly as tall as some of the trees. It was pale as a sheet of paper, which helped it blend in with the birch trees. It was very spindly, and it stared at me. I will never forget its face. It reminded me of Gollum from The Lord of the Rings, when he lashes out, but constantly and more gaunt and stretched. My body froze, but I knew I had to get home, back to my parents, or just anywhere but here. So, I slid and tumbled my way down the slope I had come from, bruising and scraping myself on the way. Thankfully, I had been very careful to know my way back to camp, as I didn't want to get lost myself. I remember thinking that no matter how fast I ran, that thing could easily catch me. I made it back to camp safely, but my parents were not back yet. I hid in the van and must have fallen asleep from the adrenaline crash, because the next thing I knew, my dad had opened the sliding door and was shaking me awake. I tried to explain what I saw to my parents, but obviously they didn't believe me. They had found my brother down by a nearby river. He and another kid he had made friends with had followed the river upstream and then had gotten lost. Thankfully, the park rangers had had this happen before, so they found him, scarred but unhurt. We stayed the night without much incident beside raccoons getting into our improperly stored food. The next morning, Dad and Mom decided to pack up and we headed home shortly after. I have told very few people this story, and fewer have believed me. But I know what I saw, because it is seared into my brain. I have some small scars from this day from the descent down the slope, so I know it wasn't a dream. It was only years later did I hear of the Wendigo and similar creatures. No matter what happens, I will never be able to forget that creature, or the fact that my brother's voice calling for help, and that the cliff I climbed was up in the polar opposite direction of the river. No one believes me when I try to tell them what happened last weekend. Not the police, not my friends, not even my parents. The thing we met in the woods followed me home, and I don't know how long I have left before it takes me as well. I have to tell someone what happened during the last weekend's camping trip. It was winter break for my community college, and I, along with a few friends, decided we were going to go on a camping trip before we all went home to our families for the extended break. The group consisted of me, Kyle, George, and Tony. We all became friends through our courses we took together, and I have to say that they made college more exciting. We had big plans for this weekend since it would be about a month before we saw each other again. We planned on leaving around lunch and heading to the Nanatala National Forest, where we would be camping. It was about an hour's drive from where we were, so it was nothing too crazy. After a few days of scrunching around for supplies, we finally had everything we thought we might need. Then the day finally arrived. We set out around lunch so that we could have everything set up by mid-afternoon and be able to hike out to a waterfall Kyle said he had been to once before. After around an hour, give or take, we finally arrived at the campsite and had began to set up the two tents that we had brought with us. I remember it took longer than we had planned because George and Tony had never been camping before, so it was up to me and Kyle to get everything set up. It was hard work, but soon enough we had our campsite up and running. "Hey, you guys," Kyle said with energy, as he always had. "Ready to see what this place has to offer?" "You don't ever get tired, do you, Kyle?" George let out a sarcastic remark. "It'll be worth it, I swear. Just hurry up so we can make it back before dark." With that, we set off. Around an hour later, with leg muscles threatening to cramp at any moment, we finally reached the waterfall. It was a sight to see, I won't lie to you. There was two large boulders at the top, and the waterfall led down into this almost crystal clear pool, where it slowly trailed back down the base of the mountain. The pool was so clear, we could even pick the few fish that had made this place their home. We had brought a few snacks with us, so we all sat down and ate for a while. We were finishing up the food when we heard what sounded like large branches being snapped. It was like a bulldozer trying to make its way down the mountain. Then, this animalistic cry that shook my bones came from past the top of the waterfall, somewhere hidden within the dense foliage. All of us stood up wide-eyed and were looking around, trying to find the source of the scene that was playing out somewhere within the woods. "I think it's time that we head back down," Tony said while frantically putting on his backpack. Kyle looked over at him. "Guys, where's George?" We were all panicking by this point, looking, trying to find out what had happened to George. He was there 1 second and gone the next. After around 30 minutes of searching and calling out into the never-ending greenery that surrounded us, we tried calling his cell phone, but it wouldn't connect because of the poor service on the mountain. By this point, I had noticed that the sun was setting and it was going to be dark soon. "Let's start heading back, guys." I looked to my two friends that remained. "There's a park ranger office not too far from our campsite. We need to tell them what happened so they could send help."
"We can't leave Georgie out here,"
Kyle responded.
"If we haven't found him yet, we are just going to have an even harder time when it gets dark. All we have to guide us is this light from our cell phones."
"Cam is right, Kyle," Tony said, defending my claim. "We will get to the park rangers and come back with them to help search for him."
"All right," Kyle relented. "Let's hurry up so we can get back to find him."
We finally started our way back down the mountain. The sun was setting, and we knew we wouldn't make it back to the ranger's cabin until after dark. We walked as fast as we could down the rough trail that had guided us. That's when we heard more branches snapping in the distance. We all froze and stared off for what felt like an eternity. We still didn't find whatever caused the disturbance and continued down the mountain. It was probably 5 or 10 minutes before the sun finally set, and darkness would overtake the mountain when we heard its cry again. This time, though, it was much closer.
"Stay close, guys. We don't need anyone else getting lost before we get off this trail," I said to the two next to me with a false sense of confidence.
"What is following us?"
Tony said, and I could hear the fear in his voice.
"Do you think that whatever it is got George?"
"Let's hurry up, Tony. Right now we need to focus on getting off this mountain," Kyle said while beginning to move once again down the path. "I swear I'm never camping for good after this."
Me and Tony both followed suit close behind him. We walked on pins and needles for the next few minutes with all of our concentration on our surroundings. At this point, we had to retrieve the flashlights Tony had in his bag to see where we were headed because it was now dark on the mountain. That's when we came around a sharp curve in the trail and found ourselves face to face with a tree that was now obstructing our path to safety. It was a decent-sized oak tree that looked like it had been ripped straight out of the ground with roots still attached and everything. It also had branches protruding in all directions that obstructed our view past it.
"Jesus," I muttered.
"It looks like there's enough space for us to crawl under,"
Kyle said while leaning down to check the space from the tree to the ground.
There is no way I'm doing that, Tony said. That thing is going to collapse on me as soon as I try to go under. There's no other way around, Tony, I said while putting my hand on his shoulder for reassurance. Me and Kyle will go through first so you can see that it's secure enough. All right, let's get a move on, Kyle said as he began making his way under the tree. Kyle made it through and gave us the all clear. I looked back to Tony and gave him a thumbs up and I went under the tree as well. While I was making my way, I looked at the trunk of the tree and noticed claw marks wrapping around the trunk as if something carried it. This made the hairs on my neck stand on end. At last, I made my way through and we both stood there waiting for Tony. Tony, you coming or what? Kyle called out. There was no response. Come on, Tony, we gotta hurry so we can get help, I added with unease mounting. That's when from off in the distance, we heard screaming. It was Tony. Whatever was following us down the mountain had placed the tree there so it could take my friend. The screaming lasted for what felt like an eternity that was followed by pleas for his life. Please, help me! And then just like that, the forest was returned the deafening silence. We both just ran. I was running, branches flying in my face, narrowly catching myself from falling over due to exposed roots. I wanted nothing more than to reach the bottom of this mountain and see the light of the ranger's office. After what felt like forever, I finally saw lights. I was so overjoyed I nearly cried. Hurry up, Kyle! We're almost... There was no sign of him. He was just gone. While running, I wasn't paying attention to anything other than getting off that mountain as soon as possible. I hadn't even noticed that he wasn't behind me. I began walking up to the office in a daze. I had scrapes and bruises covering nearly every bit of my exposed skin on my body. Finally noticing the park rangers coming out of the cabin, I just stopped and froze. They walked over to me and took me to the porch to explain what had happened. I told them the whole story of the events that had played out, and they decided to call the police to help with the search party they were trying to put together to find my friends. Hey, Cam. I looked over. It was him. George was standing right there. He looked perfectly fine, like nothing had ever happened. Where did you go, man? We were looking everywhere for you. I thought whatever was out there got you too. I said as I bounded off the porch and gave my now only friend a hug. At this point, I had no clue something was amiss. I was just happy that I wasn't the only one left. When I hugged him, he stayed stiff as a board. He didn't even look bothered at the events that had just played out. I backed off from him and noticed his lips slowly curling up into a grin. His smile he made stretched a little farther than it should have to the point where I thought his mouth would rip. That's when it hit me like a ton of bricks. This was not George. It was the thing that took him. I screamed and yelled to anyone that would listen that it wasn't my friend. But they all just looked at me like I was crazy. That's when the police showed up and questioned both of us about what had happened. They saw nothing wrong with George's story, even though I kept telling them that it wasn't him. They all just assumed that I was in shock from losing my friends. They cleared us both, and as dawn was breaking the next morning, I was on my way home. I refused to leave with George, as one of the police had to take him back to our community college. I made sure to get home and grab what little I needed so I could leave as soon as possible. On my way out, I looked to see him standing at the front of my dormitory. George had that same smile stretched across his face. I felt like he was just tormenting me with the knowledge that all my friends are dead and the culprit is standing right in front of me. Have a safe trip home, it said with a voice that sounded almost human, but carried an animalistic undertone that sent chills up my spine. It has been 3 days now. The search party that went in search of my friends haven't found anything except for one of Kyle's hiking boots, which was now painted a crimson color from the fluid that once gave him life.
There was no trace of Tony, and I knew they probably wouldn't find any. The main reason I am trying to get this story out there is because last night, while looking out my bedroom window, it was there. George was standing on the edge of the sidewalk with that same god-awful smile. He was standing right at the edge of what the street lamp illuminated, and it cast an eerie shadow over it and illuminated the thing's eyes that were reflecting in a way that only an animal's would. I know I don't have much time left before I become food for whatever that creature is. I managed to lose so much in what was supposed to be a fun weekend with friends. George is outside again tonight. I know my time is almost up, so let me finish with this warning. Don't go camping in Nantahala National Forest. Something might follow you home.